bringing hope to many around the globe, transforming lives into legacies. Living Word with Pastor Mensah Otabil. And now, today's word.
From Elijah to Elisha, and we got to part two. I did the first part of part two, and so I'm doing, this is the first time I'm doing 2A and B of any, or A and B of any series, but I had to break the part two I had put together. So this is part 2B of becoming a student. Becoming a student, part 2B. And we looked at the journey of Elijah and Elisha, and as Elisha followed Elijah, and we looked at the symbolism of the places that they went to. And I'm going to take it off from where we left off the last time, and conclude the part two today, and then do part three next week. So let's go to 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 to 9. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 to 9. And we read, "And it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, 'Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel.' But Elisha said, 'As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you.' So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, 'Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?' And he said, 'Yes, I know. Keep silent.'" The old King James Version says, "Hold your peace," which is more powerful than "keep silent." But, you know, I'm reading New King James, so "keep silent" is "keep silent." Verse 4. "Then Elijah said to him, 'Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho.' But he said, 'As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you.' So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, 'Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?' So he answered, 'Yes, I know. Keep silent.' Then Elijah said to him, 'Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jordan.' But he said, 'As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you.' So the two of them went on. And 50 of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the river, and it divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, 'Ask that I may do for you, what I may do for you before I'm taken away from you.' And Elisha said, 'Please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me.'" I will deal with that phrase more of next week, but I would look at it a little bit this week. There are four places mentioned in this journey as Elijah is going with Elisha. Four places mentioned. We have already dealt with two of the places. The first we looked at was Gilgal, which we talked about as a place of rolling away, a place of change, a place of correction, a place of breaking with the past and embracing a new identity. And they went to Bethel, the house of God, which is a place to encounter God and to have a revelation of where you are. From Bethel till they got to Jordan, we see a part of voices speaking. We see the voice of, we hear the voice of Elijah, we hear the voice of Elisha, and then we hear the voice of the sons of the prophets. And there is this interplay between Elijah saying one thing, Elisha saying another thing, and then the sons of prophets saying another thing, which is repeated almost at every part of this journey. And it's a very important subject to look at, this conversation between Elijah and Elisha, and then the sons of the prophets. Elijah says one thing, Elisha says one thing, the sons of the prophets will come and say another thing, and everywhere they go, Elijah says the same thing, Elisha says the same thing, sons of the prophets says the same thing. So what's going on here? Is it drama they are acting out? They are representing some very important lessons we must study on our way to become leaders. Because this whole thing about Elijah and Elisha is about leadership transition. It's about mentoring. It's about how leaders are grown and how leaders mature into leadership and how leaders pass on the abilities from one generation to the other. And so I want to examine those voices a little bit closer. The first one which we hear most is the voice of Elijah. And he would always say to Elijah, the Lord has sent me and stay here. Don't follow me. The voice of Elijah is the voice of testing. The voice of testing. In this process of leadership development, there is the voice of testing. Every teacher tests his students. Every teacher. You don't go to school, learn, and never get tested. You don't stay in a class and never go through a test. When you learn, you will be tested. So Elijah is testing Elisha. And he gets the point and says, God has sent me, don't follow me. It's a voice of testing. The place where people fall or fail, it's not so much in what they learn, but how they respond to a test. A test will determine who gets promoted, who gets repeated, who gets dismissed. You can learn so much in life, but if you fail the test, you are out. And there are people who are great students, but found failures when there is a test placed before them. They spend hours learning, and we all know people like that. Maybe you may even be one of them, who spend hours learning. They're always with their books. They're always studying. In our days in school, people studied chewing a lot of kola nut. To stimulate them with the caffeine. And people had their foot in a bucket of cold water for whatever purpose, to keep awake and study and study. And sometimes people learn so hard, but when it's testing time, they fail. And in life, there are people who study so hard, but fail the test. Now, this is Elijah's test for Elisha. You've studied me for 10 years. It's testing time. The voice of the test. Now, what is Elijah saying in this test? First, he affirmed his mission from God. He will say, God has sent me. God has sent me. Elijah was sure that God has sent me. He was sure that he had heard from God. He was sure of his mission. He was sure of where he was going. Most leaders like Elijah have a clear sense of where they are going. So Elijah says to Elisha, I have a mission. And then he says something very interesting. God has sent me, but you stay here. God has sent me, but you stay. What is he saying? He indicated that Elisha was not part of that mission. God has given me a mission, but you are not part of it. Now, how would you feel if your leader tells you that? God has given me a mission, but you are not part of it. God has called me, but you are not part of it. God tells me to go somewhere, but you are not part of it. Don't follow me. Go back home. I'm going on a mission with God, and don't follow me. Now, at that time, you can easily get bitter and say, well, after 10 years of serving you, is that what you are telling me, that you are going on a mission and I have no part of it? Is that how you reward me? But it was a test. Every leader tests his disciples. Every leader. Every leader. If you are following somebody, remember, you will be tested. And the proof of your success is not in how much you have learned, but whether you pass the test or not. Learning a lot is great, but you must use your lessons to pass the test. So if you were Elisha following Elijah, and Elijah says, I know where I'm going, I know my mission, God has spoken to me, you are not part of it. After 10 years of following, he says, I'm going somewhere you cannot go. That is a moment for people to get angry, to get upset, to criticize, to throw stones, and all of that. But remember, it's a test. It's a test. Now, so the voice of Elijah is the voice of a test. But there is a second voice. The voice of the sons of the prophets is the voice of taunting. Taunting means making mockery of. Every competitor will taunt you. The sons of prophets were competitors to Elisha. Elisha, the sons of prophets were prophets under training. Elisha is a prophet under training. They are also prophets under training. Fortunately or unfortunately, Elijah hasn't picked them. He has picked Elisha. And they make mockery of him. They make fun of his loyalty. They make fun of his discipline. They laugh at his zeal. And that's what they did to Elisha. And how did they make fun of him? First, Elijah says, leave me alone. You're not part of the next phase of my life. Then the sons of the prophets start making fun of Elisha. And how did they do it? Two ways. They misapplied their spiritual knowledge. They said to Elisha, do you know God is going to take your master away from you? We are not told how the sons of the prophets knew Elijah was going to be taken away. We are not told. But they were prophets, so probably they also knew it because their gift was active. So they also knew that this is the moment Elijah is going to be taken away. So they are using their spiritual knowledge in a wrong way. They were misinterpreting knowledge and telling him, well, God has revealed to us that the man you are following is taking you nowhere. We saw a vision. We had a dream. You have no future with this man. That's the second thing they were trying to say. That Elisha was on a fruitless journey. The future was fruitless. You're going nowhere. There's no future for you. Elijah will be taking up. He will not take you. You'll be left alone. And already the man even says you shouldn't follow him. Why are you following him? Because there's no future for you. This is a test. Many times when you follow faithfully for so long, there will be sons of the prophets. Others who wish they were in your position who will come and say, well, every day you are following, every day you say, yes, I'm master. Everywhere he sends you, you go, now we will see where your end will be. You've been wasting your time. 10 years you've wasted your time. There's no future for you in this place. It's a test. It's a test. This is where people fail in leadership. When you've invested 10 years of real labor, at the last moment when you're about to be promoted, somebody makes you feel that you've made a fool of yourself. It's a test. And it's a voice of mockery. Look at you. Big woman like you. You are following another person. You've never done anything for yourself. You haven't achieved anything for yourself. All your time you've wasted. It's a test. It's a test. And they're making fun of him. Your master is going to be taken away from you. And there is no future for you. You've wasted your life, Elisha. It's a test. So first, Elijah is saying, I'm going on a mission. Don't come along with me. It's a test. Sons of prophets says, He's going somewhere and you'll be left alone. And your whole 10 years of investment in this man's life is wasted. It's a test. Always remember that. Always remember that. Then there is a third voice, the voice of Elisha himself. It's the voice of trust. It's the voice of trust. Trust is the glue that holds a mentor and mentee together. What did Elijah say? Elijah did not say, well, if you're going, God has also spoken to me. He did not presume to have a divine mission. Elijah did not say, God has also sent me. He didn't presume that. He didn't say, well, if you are called, me too, I'm called. But what Elisha did is he tied his mission to Elijah's mission. He says, whether you want me to go or not, my destiny is tied to you and I will not leave you. My destiny is tied to you. I may not know where I'm going, but I know you know where you are going. And when I follow you, I'll find my way. Do you know sometimes you find your way following people? There are people who know where they are going, and there are others who don't know where they are going. If you know somebody who knows where he's going and you follow him, you will get to where you will get to. And eventually, you will find your own way. Sometimes you follow others in order to find your own way. So Elijah comes and says, I'm going on a mission. Don't follow me. Sons of prophets say, hey, the guy is leaving you. He's leaving you. You'll be alone. But Elijah says, as long as my soul lives, I'm following you. In other words, you cannot mock me out of this, and you cannot test me out of this. I didn't come this far to quit. I am ready to obtain something greater for my life. In the process of leadership development, you'll be tested. You'll be taunted. And sometimes you'll be taunted by people who supposedly love you. Your best friends. Sometimes it can be your wife. It happens all the time. The wife will tell you, look at you, all your friends have got this, and you've been doing this, and you say you are a lawyer, and you have nothing. Look at us, we have nothing. And wives know how to agitate husbands. And when your wife talks to you that way, you feel like, yeah, I must be a man. Then you strike on your own to the wilderness and get lost forever. Then when you get lost forever, he say, hey, look at you. And then you went, and now where are we now? But she's forgotten she's the one who told you, do something. You too, you are a man. Oh, God of mercy. God of mercy. So sometimes it can be your wife. Sometimes it can be your husband. Sometimes it can be your friend, your colleagues. People who seem to have your best interests at heart. Testing you, taunting you, and discouraging you. But if you are Elisha, you pass the test, and you don't fall for the taunting. They will mock your loyalty, they will mock your faithfulness, they will mock your zeal. You are serving this one. Is it your business? Will he give the business to you? What has he given you all this time? And if you're not careful, you miss it. You miss it. And as a leader, over the years, I've seen people fail more than pass. Unfortunately, more people fail. When they've worked for so long, they fail at the last minute. Because somebody mocked them. Or they face a test. And they forgot their first mission and why they decided to follow in the first place. And each one of us who is a leader in development will go through this process at various points in your life. Remember, I told you remember. So when you go to work tomorrow and people are saying, hey, you are the only one, you're always carrying the madam's bag. You're always carrying her bag. You too, don't, can't you carry your own bag? Remember I told you, it's a test. It's a test. All right. Now, so let's look at the last two places they went to, Jericho and Jordan. And we would want to see the significance of this transition as they go. Why did they go through Jericho? What does Jericho represent? Jericho, in its meaning, the meaning of the language, is city of the moon or a fragrant place. Very interesting. City of the moon or a fragrant place. In other words, Jericho can be a dark place or a beautiful place. It can be a place of darkness or a place of beauty, fragrance. It's a place where things can work and everything good will come out of you, or it's a place where everything goes dark in your life. Jericho is very important. And so we're going to read a little bit about Jericho and its significance and why Elijah took Elisha through Jericho. Joshua chapter 5 and 6 will be our reading, and I'll read quickly. Joshua chapter 5 verse 13 to 15, Joshua chapter 6 verse 3 to 5, and Joshua 6, 18 and 19. Joshua 5, 13 to 15, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandals off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. Then Joshua chapter 6, verse 3 to 5. You shall march around the city, all the men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city shall fall down, and all the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Then verses 18 and 19 of chapter 6. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. But all the silver and gold, the vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So what does Jericho represent? Jericho represents first a place for learning compliance to instruction, to directives. One of the prominent things we see about Jericho is the detailed instructions that God gave to Joshua and Israel. Jericho is not the place to do as you please. It's the place to do as you are directed. A student who is perfectly trained is one who follows instructions and pays attention to details. So when Elisha is brought to Jericho, what Elijah is trying to teach him is to remind him of the importance of strictly following instructions. Because this is going to be very critical for the passing on of the mantle. Strict instructions. And if you know, we'll talk about that next week, how the mantle will pass on. Strict instructions. That's what Jericho is. Strict instructions. It's a place to put away your own way of doing things and follow the right way of doing things. Most of us have experiences of students or people who say they are following us who never pay attention to anything. You say do the red, they do the black. Come in 5 minutes, they come in 7 minutes. Take this and give it to that person, they give it to the wrong person. And every time they will say, I thought you said, I thought you said. Why? Because whilst you are talking to them, they are imagining their own actions. Go left. He already wanted to go right. So when you said left, his mind told him right. Then he goes right. You say, why did you go right? I thought you said. People who always say, I thought you said, have not been to Jericho. Because Jericho is not a place for I thought you said. Jericho is a place for strict compliance. God says to Israel in Jericho, this is how you're going to do it. You're going to go around the wall 7 times. Quiet. On the 7th day, you go 7 times. There will be 7 priests in front of the ark, bearing 7 ram's horn. And when they blow it the last time, that's the 13th time, or the last sound, that is when you shout. Before then, you be quiet. What is he doing? Compliance. There are people who don't know how to comply. They're always reinterpreting instructions. How can you be a great leader, a great follower? How can somebody entrust something great to you when you're always misinterpreting him? If you cannot follow and comply with instructions, you curtail the potential of your leadership.
Thank you for listening to Living Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otobi, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otobi. Email otobi@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.